As you dive into this teaching from High Point Church, we pray that it will help you grow in your faith as you believe in, belong to, and become more like Jesus. If these messages bless you, would you consider giving back in support of this ministry? You can give and learn more about High Point at www.highpoint.church.
We started this journey 24 months ago. And what we did was we asked the question, what can God do? What will God do if we give everything over to Him? If we surrender our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our will? And so we came up with this phrase. You heard it on the screen. I've said it over and over again in all kinds of different settings. God's got to do something in us before He does something through us. Amen? God's got to work in us, and He's got to change us. He's got to grow us. He's got to give us a different mind, a different attitude, a different set of lenses to see the eternal. And when He does that, then He's going to do something through us. Well, I stepped onto this stage today in this wonderful service. Are you glad to be here? And I did to declare this one truth as I look at this crowd. God has done something in us. And God is doing something through us. God is at work. He is moving forward. The train has left the station. We have seen Him do things that are impossible as lives have been changed. All a result of you, your generosity, your faith. That's what we're celebrating today. That's why we've gathered in this special service. And so what I want to do is I want to simply answer one question for you in the time that I have. Why? Why'd God do it? Like if you're sitting here thinking to yourself, hey, I want to see God more in my life. I want to experience Him more. There's been a lid and there's been a ceiling and I don't or I haven't experienced Him to the greatest, to the fullness. Why? How can I experience Him more? Not a little bit more, but a lot more. Two things we've experienced that you can experience too. Calling and mission. That I'm doing what God calls me to do in my context, in my area of expertise, as a mother and a father with the kids and the family, at the workplace, at school, in the church. Calling and mission. Mission. And so what is the mission? What is your mission? What is my mission? What is our mission? If you have a Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, that's where we're headed. We're in the series. It's entitled Me, You, Us, the DNA of a Gospel-Centered Life. And for those that are joining us new today, we've been working through different DNA strands to help us understand our identity in Him. And once we understand our identity in Christ, then we can partner together to accomplish what He desires for us together as a church family, as we move the ball forward in the kingdom of God in this world. Matthew 28, I'm going to give you four core convictions, four simple core convictions when fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the mission of the church. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. Drop your eyes down to verse 9. I'll put them on the screen for those who don't have a copy of the scriptures with you. It says, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Let me emphasize all people groups, all places. God has sovereignly deposited you into a family, into a community, into a workplace. He's deposited us with relationships throughout the globe that we can go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Okay, hold for a moment. Some stuff just appeared in yellow that I didn't know. Just kidding. I put these up here for us. Here's a test. English majors, raise your hands. Nobody's embarrassed to say they have an English major. Come on now. I don't, but I'm telling you. What is think to yourself? That's the cue to say don't shout it out loud because you might be wrong. Think to yourself. What is the main verb in this sentence? Is it go? Is it make? Is it baptize? Is it teach? What do you think? Did I not say not to shout something out? Now your pastor has to rebuke you in front of the whole place. Raise your hand if you said go, because you're wrong. I'm kidding, but it's true. A lot of other people are like, I'm not taking the bait at all. It's kind of interesting because that's what I think too, naturally. It's at the front. It's we got to get moving. It's actually what you don't think it is. It isn't baptizing. It isn't teaching. It's making disciples. And that is the mission of the church, that we are called to make disciples. Amen. And a disciple is simply a learner, a follower. A disciple is a person who has dedicated their life to Jesus and looking to please him instead of themselves. That's a disciple. It's not a journey of perfection, but progress. Yes. That we're looking to him to fulfill, to help. And so how do we do it? Well, that's where the other verbs come in. But the English majors know that they're participles. And so they explain how we are to make disciples. Got to get everybody on the page with this. Been here for a long time. You've heard this before. If you're brand new, got to understand, we're all about making disciples. Online joining us, we're so thankful that you're here. No matter where you're at, from coast to coast, globe to globe, make disciples. That's the main thing, that we're going to make disciples. How do we do it? Well, how do we do it? Let's put that up again, please. We got to go. We got to baptize. We got to teach. And so go is an indication that I'm going to step into my place that God has sovereignly placed me. For me and Jody, it was a family of unbelievers. We became believers. That was our primary ministry in a season, that we wanted to see our family. Have you ever had a lost family member or friend, a son and daughter that you want to see come to him? You got to go in. It's not just going to Africa, although that's important. But the Africans, I got to tell you, we got a pastoral candidate or a resident that's going to be coming here from Africa to reach us. Amen. Isn't that some irony? That they're coming here to reach us. So we've got to go and we've got to baptize. You say, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not a ministry leader. Please let me explain. Double click on baptize. It's just evangelism. Evangelism. We don't want to make things complicated as we preach. Some people don't know. We use this Christian jargon, evangelism. I remember when I sat in the seats, I didn't know what to evangelize. What does it mean? It simply means to share Jesus, who he is and what he's done in your life, that we would evangelize. Pastor Al said it today, evangelism. That's his heart. But also that we would teach, and that's discipleship. So there's two wings on a plane for us to rise and fly and not get knocked off course. One is evangelism and the other is discipleship. And so this is the core teaching of our church, that evangelism and discipleship, some churches emphasize one over the other. Know what I'm talking about? Been on a plane ride like that? Been to a church like that? And we got to emphasize both. So here's where we're headed. I want to talk about making disciples. I want to talk about evangelizing, reaching people who don't know Jesus. You know them. Some are sitting in our chairs. Some are tuning in online. And then we want to talk about discipleship, which I would say is the backbone of our church, that we want to disciple people. And so we say it like this. Whatever church you go to, this, whether they say it or not, this is the mission. Some people get real creative in saying it. This is always the mission. Now, we say it like this. We exist to help people believe, belong, and become like Jesus. We talk about the three B's. Let me put them up in all languages so that we can all see. We exist to help people believe in Jesus, belong to Jesus, and become like Jesus. Now, when we started the church, when we came up with this, we didn't realize the alliteration wasn't going to be helpful in these other languages. I'm coming to you today with all of us gathered and saying, I'm sorry. Didn't think that through. But in all seriousness, three B's, they're not linear in how they work. It's not believe, then belong, then become like him, a linear equation. No, it could be belong, then believe, that someone comes into a community of faith and they rub shoulders with someone. And guess what happens, man? They're like, what is this Jesus thing all about? What are you people on? Why are you so happy when you shouldn't be? And isn't it true that sometimes coming into a community of faith that we belong and then we believe? Middle section, agreed? I could feel the vibe here. Very concerned about the wings. So isn't it true, though, that what that we belong and believe? Why? Because behavior is not a prerequisite of belief. Behavior is a byproduct of belief. So as we plant churches, it isn't about how somebody behaves when they come in the door. It's about belonging and believing and a changed life. That's the mission of the church. So we're going to jump in. I've got four core convictions. If we're going to fulfill that mission, we got to obey the calling. We've got to obey the mission. First core conviction for the note takers, go ahead and write this down. It's simple. Our mission is intentional. It's an intentional mission. It's something we've given thought to, we've given strategy to, we've given time to. We're trying to figure out how can we be intentional with the mission to carry it through generations, to carry it through families, to carry it through churches, to carry it through neighborhoods. And so put up 2 Timothy chapter 2, got some great memory verses for you. This one, the Apostle Paul tells us, he's intentional. He names four generations of people to reach, to evangelize, and to disciple. And so he says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, this is Paul talking to Timothy, he says, entrust to faithful men and women who also teach others. And so first generation, it's me. It's the Apostle Paul. It's just like me standing up on this stage. It's like Pastor Kiwan when he stands up on the stage in front of our Korean community. It's like Pastor Al when he stands up on the stage in front of our Hispanic community. That we're the ones like the Apostle Paul teaching. We're the first to admit this is just an illustration. Because that we're not like him. I mean, we're just... I could carry his water, maybe, but amazing. And so that's what we're doing. You're in the text. I think you can get this one right. So don't think to yourself. It's pretty simple. You tell me, who are you? Who are you in the text? Tell me. There was still, I'm serving it up for you guys. It's you. It's just like we're teaching you. And then what is, that's the second generation. Then the third generation is that you're going to entrust it to other people, to faithful people, somebody who can take it somewhere. And then they're going to take it to other groups of people. And so the chain continues. And it's a chain reaction. And we don't want to be the generation that stops it. Just thought I'd get something for that. We don't want to be the generation that halts the mission. Amen. We want to see it go forward.
That's right.
We want to see it continue. We want to see it deepen. I don't know, some of you, I don't remember this, but I was talking to somebody and they were telling me, as I was talking about chain reaction, they were talking about chain letters. Does anybody in this section remember what a chain letter is? And you'd get this thing, used to come in the mail. Does anybody remember what that was? And then you'd have it, it'd have a stamp on it. What's a stamp? Oh, Lord, help us. And so you'd open it up, and it would tell you to do something. and it would say, and then pass it to 7 other people. And if you didn't do it, what would happen? Oh my goodness, bad luck. I'm gonna break my leg, I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna stub my toe, and so you would do that. The modern day example is on Facebook and social media and everywhere else, to where you do these challenges. And so you gotta jump in a cold lake. You gotta dump a bucket of ice over your head. You gotta sit in ice, whatever it is. You gotta get your friends to do the same thing. So it's a chain reaction. So it's multiplication. So it goes viral. That's what Paul's talking about. What do we need to do to get the message to go viral? Make sense? Okay, so I'm gonna show a picture of someone who crosses all languages, because we're saying to ourselves, but I can't do it. I don't know if I have the strength. I don't know if I have the power. I've never been trained. And the truth is, this passage is a passage that's written to leaders. There's a difference, understand, difference between discipleship and leadership. There's a pathway to leadership. Not everyone is a leader. Not everyone wants to be a leader. But we're all disciples. And so this is written to leadership, that we got to get it going, that we got to be intentional. But all of us as disciples, we all have a role to play in the forwarding of the mission of the church. Agree? Some people, I have the gift of service, and you think down on yourself. No, you're not, it's not down at all. Not all of us have the same gifts. But whatever your gift and role is, I'm not sure if I can do that. I'm not sure if I can invest in others. I'm not sure if I know how. Well, let me give you some advice from Glenda. We'll put her on the screen. Glenda the Good Witch crosses all barriers. And just so that we all understand, what did Glenda say to, what was that girl's name with the dog? Oh, Dorothy, I had forgotten. Yeah, right. And Dorothy with the little poodle, what did Glenda say to her? Dorothy, my dear, you've always had the power. You just had to learn it for yourself. I didn't look like a princess there. I've been working on that. You got the power. But this is the secret sauce. This is the difference. It's not in you. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so you don't have the power in yourself. But if you look back at Matthew 28 and you still have that open, the last phrase is the best. It ends, it's the best. And lo, some translations say, or behold, what does it say next? I will be with you always to the end of the age. That, you know what, I'm going to make this happen, that I'm going to keep the ball rolling, that I'm the one who is going to see that the gospel is going to go forth. And you have just borne fruit out of a tree that you didn't plant. Amen. That God's at work. He's at work here, there, and everywhere. Second, what I'm calling core conviction to fulfill the mission of the church. It's simply this, that our mission is relational. And so it's a relational thing. It's not something that happens necessarily in a classroom with no talking. It happens with Jesus. What did he do? He discipled people in the context of small groups and in a context of 12, that he was relational with them. Why do we do small groups or growth groups in smaller groups and not just, hey, this section or this section? Why? Because it's relational. And we've got to invest the time to get to know one another. That's the best part at High Point. People think it's a Sunday morning experience. It's not. It's the rubbing shoulders. It's the going through difficulty. It's the trials, having someone support you and pray for you. That's the best part. That's what causes the growth. That's what gives you moving in the right direction. Hey, don't misunderstand me. This is awesome. But that's the most important thing. And so look what the Apostle Paul says. How important is it? He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. Some versions say our own lives, because that's how dear you came to us. So what he's saying is, it It's not just the gospel. I was waiting for a lightning to hit me. Because we don't think this way. It's our very lives. And it's arm to arm, it's shoulder to shoulder, it's back to back. That we're walking life together. I don't know where Jody and I would be as people, as parents. I don't know where I'd be as a pastor if I didn't have people invest in me. Like, I wouldn't be up here if there wasn't a couple people who I could name and some of you know. I wouldn't be here without their investment, their very life. That we're to rub shoulders, and so we're to do life together, and all of that. That's what it's about. That's why Pastor Craigie stands up here most weeks and get out of a row and get in a circle. No! And everybody's just sitting there. Like that's what we're called to do. To get out of the row and get into a circle and rub life on life and grow together. We just had a situation with a 23-year-old kid in our church. He's playing pickleball. Okay, that's not the problem, but you're like 23 years old? What is he doing that? Isn't that the game for 70-year-olds? Amen. And so now, in all seriousness, let me pull it back. He scratches his arm on a fence. I mean, it's a scratch. I mean, you know, 20, remember when you were 23? I mean, that ain't gonna hurt you. And he gets rushed to the hospital because it's not going good. His temperature's rising. They don't know what's wrong. There was bacteria that came into his arm. This is a graphic and ugly picture. It was literally eating his flesh. His arm was being eaten. And so it wasn't that he was in the ICU just for his arm because they talked about amputating it. It was for his very life. Sepsis. His small group shows up. They're around praying. We get word. We're praying. I'm calling him. The Lord healed him. Amen. I mean, it's amazing. He is sitting in a hospital bed. Now, he's far from over. But I'm telling you, when I talk to him on the phone, I'm like, I can't believe the voice that I'm hearing with what happened this week. I mean, so excited to tell his story, to share his story. Can't believe how people have reached out to me. So fired up about God. If you scratched your arm or broke your leg or were in a difficult spot with a family member or friend, man, you got somebody coming around. Man, you got somebody busting through the doors telling the nurses and the doctors, I don't care if I'm family, we're coming in. Like, too many of us we're not engaging to the point that in the crisis, God shows up through his people and God is glorified, like in this instance. Our mission is intentional. Our mission is relational. Our mission, thirdly, it's eternal. This isn't just something we're talking about in the now, although don't make the mistake that it does start now. That what? That for it is appointed for man to die once, and then comes judgment. So this isn't something you can wait on, but this mission is eternal. And so let's just have some fun. We'll put these pictures on the screen. So what does a cell phone battery have in common? What does a vacation have in common? What does a stick of gum have in common? They don't last. They don't last. How about the gum chewers? It's like you're throwing it out. Like, stop throwing it in the parking lot, please. Getting it on my shoes, and I'm just like, you know, it's gone. My wife gets it all the time. I don't chew gum. I only chew gum, and when I chew it, it's for like 3 seconds. I'll put it in, out the window. Shouldn't have said that. But they don't last. Man, this lasts forever. Like, what we're talking about lasts for eternity. Like, it's going to go on, and there's no charging station up there. Like, we are going to worship him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look to it. There's a lot here. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master. Again, this is Paul talking, skilled builder. So he's building. He's saying, man, I laid a foundation on someone else, on something someone else was building. Let each one take care how he builds. So at High Point, what are we building on? For no one can lay a foundation other than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there's nothing new under the sun. We're following the ancient path, as the prophet Jeremiah said. Like, oh, the new way to do church. There's no stinking new way. It's the same way. Now, there's new methods and new philosophy, but I'm telling you, we're laying on something that's already been built, the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. And gathering together with the saints to fulfill the mission of evangelism and discipleship, that we will fly straight. And so he goes on to say, for no one can lay a foundation. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation, that's you and me. We're trying to build our on the foundation as disciples, learners, people who believe, belong, and become like Jesus, using our time, talents, and treasure. And so we want to build upon the foundation that has already been built. Some of us are leaders, and we want to develop you in your leadership gifts. We haven't done a great job at that with our church the last 2-3 years. We want to do a better job. We got some serious leaders here. Some are disciples that it's not about me leading, it's just about me doing the work and exercising the gift that's given. But whatever it is, we're building with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each work will become manifest for the day it will disclose. So the time that you're investing now in kingdom work, it's worth it. Why? Well, because it will be revealed by fire, so everything's going to be tested. All your motives. Yep, Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, sorry. We will all give an account. How did you invest your time and your talent and your treasure? Was it about you building your kingdom? Or was it about God building his kingdom? And so that's what he's talking about. And so he says this, what sort of work has one done? Because if the work that anyone has built on the foundation, the gold, the silver, the precious, the stones, he'll receive a reward. So you're going to get a reward for your work. I've used this phrase since we began the church. Do you just want to experience success or significance? Because I remember for me when it was all about success. And Jody and I, we weren't Christians and got out of college and got a great job and we're trying to build, move up the ladder. She had a better job, better paying job than me. Just like to admit things that are true. She got a Rolex watch when she won Salesperson of the Year. Rolex. I got a Seiko when I won MVP. Hers is still running. I have no idea where that piece of junk is. But we didn't have the right focus. And so it wasn't until like late 20s and then early 30s. And I'm just saying that like there's never too late to start. That how can you invest in significance, building the kingdom? I quoted it already. I'll do it again. John chapter 15, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, does he mean you can't do anything? No. Some people have built some great businesses and even some great marriages without the Lord. But it doesn't last forever. And it doesn't have significance as it's building the kingdom. That's the significance. Building the kingdom. So we're going to flash some names up on the screen. We'll put up this first slide. Can we just do this? So here's our pastoral residents. They're in town. And these are people that we're investing in. We're partnering with a church in Las Vegas for two of them. You can see the names. I'm going to ask them. They're here. We've got some of them here with their wives. Could you guys stand up, please? Let's praise God for Josue and Christian Alvarado. And Josue and Christian are right here at High Point Church. Let's praise God for JY. And JY is so thankful to you and what he's doing. He's been working with our young adults. Praising God for Kiwan. Now you got it going, and you got to keep it going, because you're not going to praise God for, where's Kiwan? There he is. Then, you know, okay, keep it going. I'll go through fast. And Fernando and Liliana and David and Sammy, let's praise the Lord for these. Come on. And so turn around, just give them a salute. And so we're thankful for you guys. Remain standing for 1 minute. I just want to make it clear. So we're about church planting. And so this is a big deal. This is a big weekend. They're here for some assessment to make sure that they can qualify to be assessed to move forward in this. I believe it's going to happen. The Lord's got a calling on their life, and they have a mission to build the church. And so they're going to do it in different places, different parts of the country. The only person that's not here is Wa and Evie. They're in Africa, held up with, green card visas. And so they'll hopefully be here soon. But I just want to say in front of our church, these people are taking a step of faith to help build something that is not their own. They're going for significance over success. They want to see the kingdom built. It's going to take sacrifice. You know that. You've been in ministry. It's going to take dedication and commitment. It's going to take a love for God, a love for his word, a love for people. I wish I didn't have to tell you this. You're going to have to develop thick skin. Some of you have been in ministry. You know what I mean. And you got to keep a soft heart, because your feelings are going to get hurt. People are going to leave your church. They're going to leave for stupid reasons. And then some of them are going to come back that left for dumb reasons. And you know who I'm talking to. But in all seriousness, like, it isn't easy. And we applaud the sacrifice that you're making. Let's pray for them now. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace as they step forward to build your kingdom. I pray for peace. I pray for their families. I pray for their calling. I thank you for how you are using them, how you will use them, and what you will do through them. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. You can be seated. Awesome. Good stuff, man. Let's praise the God one more time. Call the worship team up. I'm going to call the worship team up. We've got one more core conviction. It's this. Our mission's unstoppable. Amen. Come on, man. It's unstoppable. It's a locomotive train coming, and that thing is not going to be stopped. It's immovable as a mountain. It's as deep as the ocean. Like, our mission is unstoppable. You can't stop it. Hey, you guys are going to screw up. You can't mess it up. God's sovereignty is greater than your stupidity. Learn that myself. That he's going to push forward, that he's going to win. How can I say it? Well, last scripture that I want to ground you in is through Matthew chapter 16, the first passage that I opened to when we had the first service here at High Point Church in a high school not too far from here. And Jesus says this: I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And nothing can prevail. And then he goes on and he says, I give you the keys. Why does he do that? Because he gives us authority and responsibility in the church. That we would build the church in our communities. That we would partner together for the work of Christ. That God's word would go forth. Man, we're a simple church. Worship and the word, you've tasted it today. Discipleship and evangelism. Small groups, growth groups. I just don't want to make it too complicated. We want to put the cookies on the lower shelf for everyone. We want everyone to experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So can I just praise the Lord for over 20 years ago, probably 22 years ago, God brought some Russians to us, some Russian-speaking people. I didn't know what to do with these people. Jody and I were praying when we started the church in that suburb down the road, that exclusive Glen Ellen people. Not a lot of diversity there. But we just prayed, Lord, would you make our church more diverse than the community that we're ministering to? I just asked that. That'd be a great prayer. Just more diverse than what we have. And God, to my surprise, brought Russian-speaking people. Still kind of arguing with them about that one. But thank you, Pastor Alex. Can you stand, Pastor Alex, for your leadership in our Russian community? Thank you. 23 years ago, we partnered together. And then God, 4 years ago, brought Pastor Al. And let's have Pastor Al stand. I mean, Pastor Al is just an amazing man. Fired us up. He's spoken at the last two times we've gathered together on this event. And I mean, firing us up and the wisdom he brings to our whole team. And then Pastor Rodney's not here. He's going to be at the prison today in, some of you know about Stateville. That's been an initiative for us. So that would have just began just about a year and a half ago, that we have a congregation in a prison that he's going to preach in God's word. And then Pastor Kiwan. Oh, he's up here. There he is. Come on, Pastor Kiwan. Just 6 months ago, just started our Korean congregation. We're trusting that God's going to continue to grow that. That's right. And so we're seeing him do some amazing things. And so let's stand together. Let's rejoice. And these are the core convictions that we're celebrating today. That our mission is intentional, that our mission is relational, that our mission is eternal. And you say the last one with me, our mission is unstoppable. And so what we're going to do is a little bit different. As the worship team sings, as I get out of the way, they're going to lead us. But I want to scroll on the screen just a minor little picture of all that God has accomplished through this initiative called Limitless. And the generosity of God's people. So let's begin to scroll on here, and you can see 185 baptisms. Can we praise the Lord for that? Come on now. How about 759 decisions for Christ? And let's keep it going. Over 4,000 people received hope and help through our care center. I mean, it's totally unbelievable. We launched High Point Espanol in Romeoville and High Point Korean in Naperville. Keep the claps going. Look at all those kids, the next generation of Christ. Amen. Amen. He is good. 2,453 people in growth groups, 30% of a church. We want to see that go up. Weekly worship centers in Stateville. Hey, keep clapping. It's going to keep coming. You shout for the one you love. Our team's going to praise God for us. Father, thank you for your goodness. Father, thank you for your greatness. Father, thank you by your Spirit. You are at work apart from us, apart from who we are, apart from what we do. Lord, you are great. Lord, you are great. Lord, you are great to us, and your hand is on us and this ministry as we build disciples in your name. Let's sing of his goodness and his greatness. Celebrate the one that you love the most. Praise the Lord.